Moray Rabbeisai, lessons from the late Parshas Bishalach. Another amazing week in Mirtz Hashem, hoping to inspire you with the following topic this week. I believe in you. Do you believe in you? Question mark, exclamation point, question mark. I will once again use the beginning of the Parsha as our source for tonight's wonderful lesson, but I will also relate it to Shabbos Abalim, Latova, Shabbos Shira, and Shabbos Tu B'Shvat. Hopefully a lesson from Tu B'Shvat and from the Parsha, and I'm only going to start, as we did last week, we just used the word Bo. This week we're only going to use the word Vayihi, Vayihi B'Shalach Paro. I want to share with you two beautiful Midrashim. That's all we're going to do tonight, two Midrashim. Midrash number one comes from the Midrash Tanchuma HaYoshon in B'Shalach Hei. It says that the word vayihi is vay, oy. Gemara in Megillah, I believe it's on Yud or Mebez, I'm guessing. And it was codified by my wonderful son Yaakov, who learned this Gemara last year amongst the five Masechtas. He was Messiah in the wonderful Yeshiva Mitzvah Yericho. And there, he told me that the Gemara actually speaks about that the word vayihi always connotes something bad. And the famous example is Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh. So actually the Gemara does not say that. My son read me the Gemara. The Gemara says that it's a Shiloh whether Vayihi is actually something negative, because there are other Vayihis that are positive. So it's not, it's nishpashet, if you will, this Shiloh. And anyway, everybody who talks about Vayihi, they say it's Lashon Tsar. It's bad. So what's the vay, right? Vav yud, vay, oy. So it says, Paro is the one who said oy. He's the one who said vay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, lamadav or doimer, ladam shayelo. He had a kitzisin. He had trees, a forest, shel erez. And he was able to sell the trees, obviously, to some builder. Not for a lot of money, they're just trees. The guy that sold it, that took it with him. Tvua umigdilim, and he made from it beautiful aronot, beautiful closets and the like, and different types of woodwork, chairs and tables. V'chulu yatsa oso ish, and the person who sold him the trees, ra osam, he saw the beautiful work that he did, the closets and the tables and the v'chulu v'chulu, hitchil lehit aneach lomar. He said, "Oy, lo lo osaish." He says, "What? What did I do wrong?" He said the following mashal: his eye was what? Was Paro's eye. Why? Because this guy said, "I'm so stupid." Not a word we use in my house. I'm so not educated. I should have just taking the Erez trees and cut them down and making chairs and tables. Instead of selling it to him for $10 a bushel, I could have sold a table for $1,000. Oy! The mashal is to Paro. Paro said, why? Hi, Yisrael Mishubadim lo. They were working for him. Betitu Livanim. What were they making? Bricks? They were making the pyramids? Velo haya nikarim lam. I don't understand the chashivas of them. What they really could have done for me. They could have built up my country in a real way. Ubo v'nasen. This is what I made them. Oh. Oy for me. I didn't realize their potential. Vayihi b'shalach. What appears to be a medrash that's mikatsa l'katsa, the opposite, is an amazing medrash that's in Shemos Rabbah. And it says as follows. Davar acher, right? The following thing. Ma omer vai, Moshe Rabbeinu said the oy of vayihi b'shalach. Moshe lech ha-shenasa libito shel melech. His daughter is marrying the melech, right? This is a positive situation. Sheyoshvim, and he's very, very far. He realizes that he's not going to be, I don't know why, he's not able to take her to the chuppah. So he sends a shliach, a big carriage comes to take them to the chuppah of the melech. Shu motzni beis avia, and he can't come with her. And he starts to cry. He says, why are you crying? That my daughter's leaving for the chuppah and I can't even go with her. The mashal, kach amar Moshe. Tzoik. He said, I. Why? Ani, I'm the one who hotzis b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. I'm the one who worked so hard on let my people go, and now they're going. Ve'enu nichnas imayim la'aretz. Lachein v'ayhi oi b'shalach. Two midrashim appear to have nothing to do with each other, but they have absolutely everything to do with each other. Because both midrashim are talking about believing, potential. Paro said, I didn't realize the potential of my own avadim, my own citizens of this country. How unfortunate is that, what they could have done for the country? And this is unbelievably interesting. We could spend a lot of time discussing some of the really, you know, what doesn't make any sense because of the fact that what? I mean, did he not realize what Yosef had done? Even if it was Vayakam Melech Chadash, even if it was a different paro, I mean, come on. You know, they had no newspapers. They couldn't look up what happened to this guy Yosef, who was a Jew. And did they realize that when Yaakov came and all the Shvatim, that things got great in Mitzrayim? I mean, come on. Okay, we have a short-term memory sometimes when it comes to Rishayim. But that teaches us a lesson about our own potential. And maybe we can say the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is hard for me to say because I'm chas v'shalom not speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu. Chas v'shalom. But Moshe Rabbeinu also had the ayi because he worked so hard. But this was the Rabbeinu Shalom had a tafkid for him. Sometimes when we know that tafkid won't be fulfilled, it's difficult for us. Because we know that I'll take out the Atzmos Yosef, but I won't be able to bury the Atzmos Yosef in Eretz Yisrael. But we still do it. Now, it's, of course, a difficult midrash. How did Moshe at this point know he wouldn't get into Eretz Yisrael, that he would hit a rock? It's amazing. But both of them talk about believing in yourself and saying, okay, maybe, who knows? Maybe this was my tafkid in life. And it is a sorry state because we get so down on ourselves all the time. Sometimes we're very lucky, and this is not all the time, but you have people that believe in you. Hopefully, at least your parents. Hopefully you're a Beim in yeshiva. And they tell you this. And they say, hey, I got to tell you something. I believe in you. You could be much better. I believe that you could wake up for Shacharis. I believe that you can come to Shir on time. I believe, now this sounds very extreme, excuse me for saying this, that even after watching the entire Super Bowl, and not knowing it would go into overtime, and not knowing that Rav Boaz would be there to make you go to Shacharis at Vasikin, you could still function. Okay? I'm not such a tzaddik. I've also functioned in a few hours of sleep. And then I didn't have a break at 1 o'clock to sleep till 3:45. But to tell you that people went to sleep, okay? I know you're smart, of course. You go to sleep at, you know, whatever time it was, let's say 7 o'clock. You sleep from 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 6 hours. You obviously set your alarm clocks, the same alarm clock that doesn't wake you up normally in the morning at 8 o'clock, but this woke you up for 1 o'clock because it was Franks and Blankets, so you made sure to get up. And you had your Franks and Blankets, and then you went back to sleep. Maybe some of you were tzaddikim and woke up for 3:45 mincha. Not everybody did. You slept like 10, 15 hours, and you're going to complain because it's so late now. How are you going to go in the teal tomorrow? I believe in you, and I believe that you're wrong. And you could, you didn't have to. And I believe that you could have, right? If you put your mind to it, you could have gone through Shir. You could have. And some people did. And some of the Rabbeim told me about the wonderful people who said, Rebbe, I slept for 3 hours. It's going to be hard for me, but I'm going to try. That's what Torah is about. Torah is hard. If you never heard it before, hear it here first. Torah is not easy. Doing Hashem's will, His mitzvot, is not easy. But I believe in you, and I know you can do it. Get out of your comfort zone and do it. Realize what your potential is, and do it. And even if you think that your potential is X, go beyond it. Because you never know what God has in store for you. So many people are quitters. Why? They don't believe in themselves. But there's a message from Tu B'Shvat, which is even more important.
famous question, why is Tu B'Shvat on Tu B'Shvat? Right? Yeah. You know, he asked kids a question. When's Tu B'Shvat this year? They're like, So when I was a little kid, I always thought it was the second of Shvat. Two. I used to think that. And that's not a joke. I just think that. I just wasn't smart. And so Tu B'Shvat is in the dead of winter. Certainly, you go to other countries, but even here it's been pretty cold for Israel standards. I was outside today. Maybe something changed in the last, you know, hour. Their leaves are actually all on the floor. The fruits are not around. Why is Tu B'Shvat now? So if you look beneath the tree, if you go into the tree, if you go to Maine, you'll see that there are people drilling trees to get delicious Wednesday pancakes with maple syrup, which you won't have this week. Maple syrup. The sap is starting in the trees. It's starting to give it life. It's getting ready to become that amazing tree that you're going to start to see bloom in April in Chodesh Nisan. And then it's going to be the next one. You're going to see, wow, look how many rimonim we have. Wow, look at the apples. Look at the oranges. Wow, I never thought this tree. So, but it's the dead of winter and we don't believe in it because we look at it. It doesn't look like anything. But on the inside, there's so much happening. Tu B'Shvat is in the dead of winter to remind us, hey, Rabbi Yisai, wake up. Adam ki eitz atzadeh. You are compared to a tree. Sometimes we think there's nothing going on with you. Looks like that everything has fallen. I believe in you. There is inside of you sap. And it's good. Some maple syrup sell for a lot of money. They have glass bottles. They're fancy schmancy. There's something inside of you. I believe in you. It's funny, I mean, there's no real songs for Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat Egi, Chag HaIlah. No, that's the only one I know, right? And there's a famous one, how does it start? Hashkedi Aparachat. Why? Because we give ourselves a little bit of nechama, because if you go in the street, you can see this, you go on to 38, you'll see the almond tree, the shaked tree. Actually, that's the only tree that starts a little bit. So I was thinking about it, I was like, maybe this is a bad thing, because it doesn't go good with my... So no, it's not true. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says, there are two types of shkedim, of almonds. He writes that in the introduction to his book, Perech Mata Aaron, that Aaron's staff had almonds on it. It was shkedim that grew from it. He says, why shkedim? There are two types of shkedim. He says, there's bitter ones, and there's ones that are sweet. God gives us a box of chocolates, and you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes you get that bad one. They never give you the, right? They never give you that chart. I love that chart. What's inside? And you eat one, you eat the, and then finally, ooh, peanut butter. Mm. And you're like, oh my God, I'm allergic to peanut butter. No, I'm saying. But the idea is that the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes lets you see the Shkedi Aparach. Says, things will be good. But I think it's more about the sap. It's more about what your potential is. Every Rebbe in this yeshiva who knows you as a student knows your potential. Meaning that your potential is much more than you think it is. And we all believe in you. And I'm sure your parents believe in you. I hope they do. And when you get older and you're listening to this, and you have a spouse that believes in you. Sometimes we don't believe in ourselves and we need those people to believe in us. Paro didn't believe in the Jewish people, and Moshe, to an extent it seems, almost didn't believe in himself. He get the I. Believe in yourself. That's the goal of your life, but it's more than just believing in yourself. It's believing yourself to a point almost you're haughty about it. I can do anything. I can be anybody. Even if you can't bury Atzmos Yosef, you at least took it out of Mitzrayim. You started the mitzvah. Let's say you have somebody who's really crazy. He's crazy. Why is he crazy? Because he's never in his life ever, actually, I'm just being honest, he's never really learned a piece of Gemara. And he makes a statement to himself and he says, I'm going to finish Shas. What did you just say? I'm going to finish Shas. And everybody laughs at him. Those are the greatest CEOs in the world. Everybody laughs at them. And all the time, read the books. I didn't, but people did. Right? I'm going to do this. I hate to be political. There may be even a president of the United States who everybody laughed at. I love that 7-minute clip of everybody who made fun of him. You'll never be president. He said to himself, okay, he's you know, maybe the opposite of the haughtiness that we are talking about here. But you're supposed to be, when it comes to saying, I can finish, I bet you can finish us. I bet you. There's not a person in this room that cannot finish us. Okay? I'm telling you. There's not a person here who can't accomplish, but we sell ourselves short so much, and we say, oh, instead of saying, oh, to ourselves, no, stop. And we limit ourselves and say, ah, just be an Abba Demayinu Befaru Mitzrayim, it's fine. Just be an Eved to whatever you want to call society today. I'm going to be that 9-to-5 worker. Halavai, there's such a thing anymore. I'm going to be that 9-to-11 worker. I'm just going to do that. And I'm going to give myself an excuse. I don't have to learn. And I'm going to say I went to the Super Bowl yesterday. And my Rebbe doesn't know that I went to the Super Bowl. Yeah. And I'm going to tell my Rebbe about there was the World Cup was yesterday. I won't know the difference. I don't know what your football crazy is, right? So I'll be like, okay, there was no, but he slept the whole day because of that. A guy said to me a great vort this morning. I said to him, how come you're late to shiur? Did you watch the game last night? He says, I could tell you I did, and nobody would say a word, right? When my madrich woke me up this morning, I said, Super Bowl, that was the key word, and then he went back to sleep. Because you don't push yourself. That's what you have to do. And that's what this teaches us. Rabbi say, this is the parsha of Shabbos Shira. The Shira Chadasha of this parsha is the ultimate in amazingness, in potential. Think about these Jews, maka after maka. When are we getting out? What about now? What about now? And they finally, they get out. And they go, and everything looks very, very, very grim. And there's a body of water in front of them. And they said, oh, you face mirrors. Oh, good, the caliph didn't make any noise. Well, how's that going to help us now? We're about to die. And there was one person who had the potential, who believed in himself. And he says, Nachshon ben Aminadav. And he says, no, I'm going in. I know Hashem. And he continued walking. And the Nachshon didn't say this, but we would probably be like, okay, maybe this is a bad idea. And it went all the way up. And then the sea split. And everybody was standing there probably saying, I was about to go. I was going to be the second one. Yeah. We have to believe. The Ribbono Shel Olam is on our side. We spoke yesterday about Hashem picking us up. Obviously, the ultimate believer in you is Hashem. And sometimes I think to myself, is Hashem looking at me now and saying, come on, Dov Menachem and Kloni Miskalim, no, do a little bit more. This is not only what Hashem wants of you. Don't go home and say, well, I learned with the boys today all day, so now I have a heter to go on Facebook for an hour. Not me, of course. No. Right? Oh, now I have a head. I'm just going to relax. Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to relax. I'm allowed to relax. You're going on a trip now. I'll end with this. You're going on a trip, Rabbi Yisai. Please listen to me now. Unfortunately, there are not many opportunities of formal learning on the trip. There's not. You're going to be on a bus, and there's going to be hours on the bus. Are you even taking a safer with you? Do you have any plan of any sort of learning of anything? Why not? A little bit something. Don't say, well, it's a trip. I have a heter. If my rebbes are taking me on the trip, there must be a heter. Am I learning? Do I have a bus mate? And I say, hey, I want to sit next to you on the bus. Let's learn a little kids of Shulchan Aruch. Let's learn Mishnah. I don't care what it is. That's not the point. I have this thing called a phone. It doesn't only have Facebook on it. It has YU Torah on it. It has other apps, Torah Anytime. Can I listen to a shiur? You know what? I didn't catch lessons from the Lev this week, but I know it's so amazing. It's so wonderful. It's so many people listen to it. Rav Hartstein's own parents and sometimes his wife listens to it. There are 3 people who listen to it. I got to listen to it. I know he checks the hits all the time and sees how many people. I know sometimes he loads it a few times and sees if he can get his own hits going on because he hits it again. And then it says, Rabbi Hartstein, stop it. Okay. But believe in yourself and say, no, it's not enough. I know I'm off for 2 days, but I'm going to learn more. That's my bracha to you. We should be zeichet to see only good things because I believe in you. So why don't you believe in yourself?